Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to everyone here today. Few announcements. Everybody knows with the lockdown starting tonight, so church will be closed as of Sunday until further notice. Hopefully it's only for the month, but we'll just do like before until further notice, and then we will call everybody when we are going to start church services inside again. But I want to thank Kevin and Trish and John, because they are going to come out here tomorrow and they are going to record a service for this Sunday right away, and they will be recording services every Sunday that we are closed. So we will have a sermon on our website that you can check out. I'm not sure if Trish is going to have it up right away for Sunday morning. She said she should, so at least Sunday morning. You can go on the church website and you'll hear the recorded sermon that John will be doing for us, and I want to thank John for that. And Kevin and Trish for coming out. Also, this Tuesday coming up, the plan is that my mom is planning on coming back to her own place. So hopefully that works out for mom, so she wants to try it. And I don't think there's any other announcements unless someone else has something. But otherwise, let's enjoy today's service.
Thank you, Tony. Special welcome to everyone coming out this morning on this morning where there's lots of snow and lots of ice, but it is good that we can gather together in the house of God. Before we begin our service, let us come before God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, creator of the universe, whose Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your church, that all the people of the world, being led through the knowledge of your truth to worship you, may offer the gold of intellect, the frankincense of devotion, and the myrrh of discipline to him who, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever, one God, world without end. Amen. Our call to worship this morning: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace for those on whom his favor rests. The Word has become flesh and has come to dwell among us, and we have seen his glory.
Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Alleluia.
All the ends of the earth receive his salvation from our God. Alleluia.
I would invite Gary to come forward to light the Advent candle.
The Advent wreath helps us recollect the miracle of God's becoming human for our sake. It is decked with greenery, causing us to remember the newness of life we have in Christ Jesus. The first candle reminds us of the prophet's hope for God's salvation to come. The second candle reminds us of the angel's song of peace for all the earth. The third candle reminds us of the joy of the shepherds as they heard the good news of Jesus' arrival. The fourth candle reminds us of the great love God showed us in sending Jesus. The Christ candle reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Come into our darkness to enlighten us and give us the life of God, which we share with others. As he says in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:22. Let us sing as we celebrate the coming of God to the world.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Humble yourself before him and he will lift you up. The sacrifice is acceptable to God is a broken spirit, and the Lord will not despise a broken and contrite heart. Let us come together and pray the prayer of confession. Almighty God and Father in heaven, who also makes his home with those of humble and contrite spirit, before you and our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess the sin of ignoring your presence in the Spirit, of failing to look out for and return for our Savior and Judge. We also confess our blindness to your coming in those who are lonely, hungry, cold, poor, and sick. In your great goodness, put away our offenses and cleanse us from our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let us come together as we sing Silent Night. Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Before we read God's holy word, let us come before God in prayer. Mighty God, as shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying all that they'd seen and heard was mirrored by what they had been told, we ask that you move among us now with your Holy Spirit, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and the joy of the living word. as we seek to welcome what is written into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was first census was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went into their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this what has happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I think it's a question sometimes that people ask. And it's a question that in one sense it's kind of profound, but sometimes they say, well, why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, we celebrate Christmas because the lovely Lord Jesus Christ invaded this sad and hopeless world. His coming fulfilled the ancient promises which provided a cure for the sin and extended hope for all walks of life. He offers peace in our lives when hostility rages, reveals the existence for human existence, and points us to the glorious expectation of his return. Mere happiness is rooted in happenings, but true joy is rooted in Jesus Christ. Christianity is a song of religion. Agnosticism has no carols. Confucianism and Brahmanism has no anthems or alleluias. What they have is dreary, weird dirges that reveal that there is no hope for the future. And Christianity is filled with music. It is only the message of Jesus Christ, the joy, the birth of the Christ child, that puts a song in our heart. And when you have Christ in your heart, you understand and you know what Christmas is all about. Something inside of you, when you've accepted Christ, starts to change in your life. And somehow inside of you, a melody forms, and it's something that you really can't control. Being a Christian, it is unlike any other belief system. We've read through the stories in the book of Luke, and we find that there are 6 different songs recorded. And throughout Luke, he is so accurate in his recordings that these songs are almost back to back. There's the beatitude of Elizabeth when she was visited by Mary. There was the Magnificat of Mary, Mary's song. The Benedictus of Zacharias, he's the father of John the Baptist. The song of Simeon, when he is presented with the Christ child in the temple. The Evangel song of the angel of the Lord over the plains. And finally, the Gloria of the angelic hosts. When Jesus came into this world, poetry expressed itself and music was reborn. So why do we sing during the Christmas season? Everywhere we go and every time we turn on the radio or television, or if you've been able to sneak out and get a little bit of shopping done before the lockdown happens, someone could be playing music, or somebody, we've actually heard somebody humming a Christmas carol. And if we didn't understand why it's possible, I think for somebody who had no faith in Jesus Christ, it almost could be perhaps a little irritating. Sometimes it's really irritating knowing that someone is truly filled with joy and yet not understanding why. For some people, maybe they're wishing that they had it, but not understanding just how to get this joy that we can so express. Why are we so filled with joy and music this time of year? What is it about Christmas that wants us to, I know we're not allowed to, but you almost feel like you'd love to rip off your mask and sing the Christmas carols. There are so many reasons that are illustrated in the book of Luke by the songs. There is joy and music at Christmas because the Old Testament prophecies have been fulfilled. When Christ was born, one of the reasons for great songs in the heart of the people that day was that prophecies of the Old Testament had been fulfilled. It's Simeon's song recorded in Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32. We get some understanding of the Jews that had that longment of the prophetic prophecies. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it appeared to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Somehow, for some reason, Simeon had been given a word from the Lord that he was going to live long enough to see the Messiah. He probably wondered every day, is this the day? Simeon would have been well acquainted with Isaiah 40 to 55, which tells the nature of the coming of the Messiah. The joy of these prophecies fulfilled kept Simeon alive until at last in one day. In the temple, he had the joy of seeing the Messiah himself. Simeon then is an illustration of all those who are awaiting the coming of Christ. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in such a specific way that most Jewish people would read right over it and they would miss the significance of what the prophets were saying. Micah, for instance, said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Daniel actually gave a timetable of how this was going to happen. Isaiah says the Messiah would be born of a virgin, something that had never happened before. Jeremiah says that Christ's birth would be accompanied by the great slaughter of many children. Hosea revealed that at a certain time they would go to Egypt and spare the life of the child. All these prophecies were given 500 to 700 years before the birth of Christ. There were devout Jews who would read every day the scriptures and ponder over these verses and wonder, would this happen in my lifetime? Would I be able to see the Messiah? So when Christ was born, it was apparent that this indeed was the Messiah, and they were filled with joy. They burst forth into song and excitement. Consider the incredible nature of the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ. For example, in 700 BC, Micah prophesies that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. What possibility by any man, and by his own wisdom, predicting the birthplace of someone who was not yet born? I don't think if any one of us spent all the time we could in studying Canadian history, we would not be able to predict the birthplace of a future prime minister. Micah puts his finger down on one of the smallest countries in the world, Israel, designated one of the 12 provinces into which the Messiah was to be born, namely Judah, and within that province he puts his finger on one tiny little village called Bethlehem and said, here is where the Messiah is going to be born. David was the only other king born in Bethlehem. All other kings, generation after generation, were born until Judah fell, were born in the royal city of Jerusalem. Most of them would probably have been born probably in a palace. So if the prophets in Micah's day had guessed the birthplace of Jesus, they would have never guessed Bethlehem. They would have guessed Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is where all the kings were to be born. It was only due to a Roman edict concerning the taxation that Joseph and Mary were born, were to go to Bethlehem where Jesus was to be born. Follow this closely. It was a pagan edict that sent them to the very place where Micah said that Jesus was to be born. And when Christ was born, it was apparent to the few who gathered around the scene that this is the Messiah. We can understand why they were so filled with nothing other than they could burst into a song. And we sing at Christmas time, we sing with joy. Our hearts are filled with gladness because the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled. And we are reminded of that truth. There's joy and music for all of us at Christmas time because the problem of sin has been resolved. Once and for all, the problem of sin in our lives has been resolved. If we look back to Bethlehem, we look back to the birth of Jesus. We have to look back through an empty tomb. We have to look back through a cross. We have to look back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we look back and we come back to the manger. And we know that Bethlehem was the answer to the question that has plagued every man's heart. How can we know God? In the Old Testament, in faith, believers would bring sacrifices to know God in the Old Testament way. But there was also the promise of the Lamb of God who would come and who would be slain for everyone. Thus, sin would be put to rest for those who trust in the Messiah. I'm thinking that's what Zacharias was talking about in Luke 1, 68 to 79. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us, that we should be saved from our enemies, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, to grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of our sins through the tender mercy of our God. Zacharias understood the coming of Jesus Christ was for a specific purpose, that he ultimately might be the Redeemer. Why is there music and joy at Christmas? For the same reason why there is music and joy and singing in heaven when one sinner repents. When salvation becomes a reality, we really understand what it means to be truly forgiven, to have that burden of sin lifted off of us, to know that we will never have to stand in judgment for our sin, there is reason for song and there is reason for incredibly joy. We cannot forgive our own sins. We can't. We need a redeemer. Men have ever, for trying out throughout the centuries, have tried to reach up to God and failed. But it is God who has come down to us in the form of a tiny little baby. There's so much joy in music at Christmas because the pain of the lowly and the forgotten has been remembered. Listen to Mary's song as I read from Luke 1:46. And Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humbled state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty the deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." Every Christmas, God is saying to the downtrodden and the oppressed, the lonely, the exploited, and those who suffer with doubt, with fear, with anger, with rage, he says, "Be of good cheer. I am your friend. I am your champion. I have sent my son with good news to the poor and proclaim and release the captives and set a liberty to those who are oppressed." Why is there so much joy at Christmas? Because no matter how who you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how bad you feel, no matter what is going on as we're entering into another life, into another lockdown, and it changes in our lives, and every Christmas there is that renewal within us of this message. Christ has been chosen to be among the common people. He came in a common way, not born in a palace, but in a manger. Not surrounded by kings, but surrounded by shepherds. To be sure that none of us, no matter who we are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you feel about yourself, not one of us is out of the sphere of the love of God at Christmas. There's joy in music at Christmas because the possibility of peace is renewed in our hearts. In more than a past few years, warring nations would call a ceasefire on Christmas Day. They would agree not to shoot or drop bombs on each other for that one day, and then after Christmas Day, the fighting again would resume. But as strange as that may seem, as strange as that custom is, in a wonderful way, it's a mute testimony to the purpose of for what Christ came. He came to bring peace. Wasn't that the message that the angels proclaimed in Luke 2:8-14? Where we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.'" We sing at Christmas because within our hearts there's the hope of peace. Today, in many parts of the world, peace is not a word in their vocabulary. Yet every Christian knows that there's a time of coming that when peace will reign on this earth again. Every Christmas season, there is a new kind of hope that gets born into our hearts. Even though the outlook may seem dark, the only darkness we may see out there is out there, but we don't have to feel it. The Prince of Peace has come. And with him, the faith that men will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, and then we all shall be at peace. There's joy in music at Christmas because the purpose of life for all of us is illustrated by the songs of the Nativity. Throughout all the songs, we find this note of glory and praise to the Father. Mary's song begins with, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior." Elizabeth was so full of joy and praise for her God when she met Mary that the baby jumped in her womb for the joy of being in the presence of the Messiah. Zacharias Benedictus said to the God of Israel, and the message of the angels was, "Glory to God in the highest." What's the real purpose in life for us? I think if we were to ask people in today's society, it would be get all I can. As one person once said to me, get as much as I can in life, and when I die, or when we all die, the one who has the most wins. That's the mentality that's out there today. But according to the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer, what's your only comfort in life and death is that I am not my own. I belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He's fully paid for my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit. Assures me of eternal life and makes me wholehearted and willing and ready from now on to live for him. And brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the message of Christmas, we find that wonderful story. Everywhere we read the songs of Christmas in the book of Luke, they're extolling the glory of God, praising God and blessing God. There's joy in music at Christmas because the predictions of Christ's second coming are secure. As we read the prophecies of Micah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Daniel, and Isaiah, and we follow them for 600 to 700 years to where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we are amazed that the accuracies of those prophecies could reveal where the Messiah was to be born, or that Isaiah could say, born of a virgin. Or Jeremiah could foretell the slaughter of children connected with that birth. Or Isaiah could reveal the flight into Egypt to avoid danger. Yet these same prophets told us that the Messiah came the first time, is telling us that he will come again. And how accurately will those prophecies be fulfilled, you may ask? Just as accurately as the first prophecies were fulfilled. Many things in the songs of Luke, if you watch them closely, weren't fulfilled at Bethlehem because they will be fulfilled when Christ comes again. Why is there joy in Christmas? Because Jesus, who came to us the first time, is coming again. So when you have the opportunity to sing, enjoy the music, be blessed by the beautiful words of the melody. Be blessed by the words of hope and promise that we sing about each Christmas. Share the joy with one another. Share it beyond this moment. Let it extend throughout your whole life, not just the joy of Christmas, but let it extend out into the new year. Let it be your way of life. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone you meet. Share the hope and joy and love that he has given each one of us. Let us pray. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created the heaven and earth. You have made us in your image. You have kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came among us as the Word made flesh to show us your glory, full of grace and truth. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, on the day that which our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples in a place where they were gathered and was made known to them in breaking of the bread. Come then to the joyful feast of the Lord. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks. It is our joy and our salvation at all times and in all places to give thanks to you, O Lord, for all your almighty glory, for us exhausting for the light of your grace.
Because the light of your glory has shone with splendor in our world, for you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us of Mary, that we might have power to become your children through him who existed before the world was called into being, but came down to save us by being born of a humble virgin lying in a crib, walking on earth as a man who became poor that by his poverty we might become rich, who was humble that we might be exalted, who gave us peace and joy when we were without hope and without God. Therefore, the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we proclaim and celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we sing it with joy. Please join together with 270, Joy to the World. Give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until his coming again. For on that night of his arrest, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this as a memorial of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is my new covenant, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Together we read, "His death, O God, we proclaim. His resurrection we declare. His coming we wait. Glory be to you, O Lord." Heavenly Father, be present with the life-giving Word and Holy Spirit that we may be nourished and strengthened through this supper. Grant that all may share in the communion of the body and blood of your Son, may be united in him. And may we faithfully in love and hope until we feast joyfully with him in his eternal kingdom. Now, as our Savior Christ taught us to pray, we pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Come, to all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And to you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul delight in the riches of fare. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Together we say, we praise you, Lord, for these your gifts of bread and wine. We offer you ourselves as your people in your service. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The gifts of God for the people of God. The bread we break is a sharing of the body of Christ. Take, eat, and remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete remission of our sins. The cup for which we give thanks is the sharing in the blood of Christ. Take, drink. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete remission of our sins. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, since the Lord has fed us at his table, let us praise his holy name with thanksgiving. Let us come together and sing, "As with gladness, men of old."
Thank you.
receive the blessing. May God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.